Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live, where sarcasm goes to the movies and snark watches TV, with your hosts, the Horror Fatale and the Diva Mummy.
Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live. I'm your host, the Fatale, coming to you with episode 9 of the podcast. And I keep promising that this is going to be consistent, and I'm going to do my best to try to make that a reality. It's just really hard for me to consistently do this because I'm still really uncomfortable with doing it by myself. And I haven't decided on whether or not I want to invite a co-host or how I want to do it. But just we'll keep going to see what happens. This episode, we're going to do a couple of things. Like, I want to talk about the book called Hippie Culture, The Last Words, Hippie Cult Leader, The Last Words of Charles Manson by author James Buddy Day, which we had the pleasure of reading before it came out. But I just got around to getting the review posted to the site a couple of weeks ago, about a week ago. You might have know this already because I think I said it in the previous episode a month ago. The website got hacked. Horror Fatale got hacked big time. And we did all we could to try to save 11 years of posts. That's how long we've been around, guys. 11 years. And we couldn't save it. So I'm laughing to keep from crying because it was really hard to say goodbye because virtually had to start over. And we lost everything except for the two pages of one is the television review page and the other is the movie review page. Luckily enough, there's a thing called the Wayback Machine. And so up until the site got hacked, they were, you know, steadily taking snapshots. So we have virtually most of the TV reviews and most of the movie reviews. None of the book reviews, those are gone. But I've only been doing those for about a year. So I'm going to do a thing called when you do Throwback Thursday, I decide I will repost some of the different posts from over the years, the ones that I thought were really cool and still need to be reread or whatever. So those will include the book report. So let's just get started with Hippie Cult Leader, The Last Words of Charles Manson. I am recommending this book with the highest. It is such a good book. It's really well written. It's very well researched. He did a fantastic job of breaking down exactly what happened in 1969. And I want to apologize too, because in the original post, I said 1968. I'm not real sure why I did that. I think because 68 was a big year in civil rights, you might know. Dr. King was assassinated that year. So I think that's why 68 stood out in my mind, whereas it was actually 1969. It was the anniversary this year. Hence, Quentin Tarantino's movie came out with Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio to commemorate. Well, it didn't really commemorate it, but there's a chunk of the movie apparently that discuss or deals with the Manson murders. I haven't seen the movie, but I hear it's really good. I'm not the biggest Tarantino fan. Some things he does I really, really like, and sometimes there are things that annoys me about him. I haven't decided on whether or not I'm gonna see this or not. I love Brad Pitt, so I probably will. But back to the book. So he started writing this book, I think, based mainly on he did a documentary about the Manson murders. And along the way, he befriends, kind of, befriend is kind of a strong word, but he becomes, well, friendly with Charles Manson. And this is, he base, most of the telling of the crime are based on actual witnesses of people that were there. He talks to several people that were actually in the Manson family. He talks to Charles Manson's friends. He has actual friends, which is so weird to me. But he does. He has actual friends that are still alive today. And rightly kind of would tell you that he's their friend. And he was their friend, which is very different. A couple of the friends he actually befriended, they were on the outside, and they, it seems like they were pen palling Charles Manson. That's a weird kindred spirit to have, but apparently he did. One of the things that I was really impressed with, the helter skelter theory. That's the biggest narrative, I think, that most people that know. And full disclosure, I only knew or know about Charles Manson kind of superficially. As I said in my review, I remember watching Geraldo go to the jailhouse and interview him. And that did not go well. I wonder if it's on YouTube. It probably is. You should look it up on YouTube if you just have the time one day, because that was just wild. You know, by the time I discovered who Charles Manson was, I was 8 or 9 years old or whatever. Was not alive in 1969, believe it or not. The thought of me was not alive in 1969, actually. My mom was a kid. So, you know, it wasn't something that I just was that fascinated with. I remember seeing Helter Skelter like on reruns or something as a child and not really knowing what was going on. It was just a bunch of weird looking people, according to me, shouting things in court. And, you know, so the theory of Helter Skelter was that, you know, Manson was starting this race war. And so he was pinning his crime. They pinned their crimes on black people to make the white citizens not trust the black people and all of that. And it's really cultish. That's the way that the book Helter Skelter and the movie, all of that. But according to Manson and kind of the other people involved, Manson, and I have to look his name up real quick. I want to say Tex is his name. Forgotten that quick. 1 second. Oh, I got that wrong. his name is Bobby, and he was up for parole for the killing of, I don't think he was at the Tate-LaBianca murders. I think he was the one before. There's a string, kind of a bit of a string of murders, and he was jailed for that. And he also supports Manson in that the Helter Skelter thing was bullshit. So that was interesting to see. People were kind of like dissing the Helter Skelter theory, which is the one that the public has known for the last 50 years. That's been what everybody said happened. So it's, you know, it's kind of a wise tale or whatever. I've never wanted to go that way. I think they've actually torn that house down, if I'm not mistaken. I know it's here somewhere in LA, but that's not one on the list. There are a couple of sites that I'm going to travel to, though, that are famous crimes, but for some reason that wasn't one of them. I think I was more impressed that, in the fact that later, like in the 90s, that I Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails turned it into a movie studio. I mean, not a movie studio, a music studio. He had a studio there. I was more impressed with that aspect of it than the murders. But anyway, I digress. What I also noticed from the conversations is Charles Manson was very kind of charismatic, dare I say. And so I kind of have a little bit of a inkling to how you, if you're really troubled and you're looking for something, I can see how you might like him and latch on to him, because he has definitely that con artist thing, because I think that's what he was, mostly a con artist, and I think he conned a whole lot of people. I was also found it really interesting that he spent his entire life in jail and didn't really kill anybody. That's always been an interesting fact. And so again, I think Buddy Day did a really good job with, you know, giving Charles Manson a voice. I don't know if he deserved one, but we got it anyway. But he was so factual and so fair in his telling of the narrative. And it's a really, really, really well-written book. So you should pick it up wherever books are sold in your area. And it's a really good book. I suggest that you go on my site, go on harfortel.com, and read the review. I think I did a better job with the review than actually vocally telling you guys why you should read it. But it was a really good book. Next up, as you guys probably know, we've been reviewing and watching Into the Dark, the Blumhouse series that airs on Hulu. And just in case you don't know, Blumhouse has a series that they release through Hulu, and it every episode represents a holiday. So 12 holidays a year, 12 episodes. And we did watch, I've watched all of them and reviewed all of them again, Lost. However, we're going to post the upcoming episode, which will actually stream on Friday, which will be tomorrow, the day after this podcast is uploaded. Hope I'm getting my dates right. It's very confusing to record something beforehand. But anyway, and it's for the holiday of International Daughters Day. I thought they were going to do a Labor Day episode, but they fooled me. They did have one before. It was School Spirit in August for the first day of school. Although we watched it, we didn't get to do a post because the site only got back to working afterwards. So I thought it was a little ridiculous to post it after the kids had already been back to school. So, but you should also check that one out if you have Hulu or whatever, or if you're borrowing somebody's Hulu. It was a really good episode. It was this whole weird, macabre take on The Breakfast Club. So I think you'll really enjoy it. It was pretty good. And it actually was one of the more horror in nature of the episodes. The whole series has been like, some has been supernatural in nature. Some has been flat out horror where there were actual kills. Some has been psychological. But I think this one and the one for Valentine's Day, and the very first one, which was for Halloween of last year, were the most horrifying and had the most kills. So check that out. But this episode, again, is for International Daughters Day, and it's called Pure. And we're going to, this will be online today. So I'm not going to give away too much because I actually want you to read the blog post. But the episode centers around a group of young women who are on sorry, I'm discombobulated. It's a purity retreat. they're on a purity retreat with their fathers. And yeah, I know, it's already horrifying sounding. It wasn't even remotely a horror episode, and I don't think that was the point of it. But it's horrifying just in the nature of it, and it's, I think, most likely that was the point of it. And, you know, it's a group of teenagers, they're on the purity retreat with their fathers, and, you know, it's just a bunch of men, you know, trying to keep these young women and not letting them have agency over their sexuality, over their bodies, basically over their minds, and telling them that they're, you know, natural teenage hormones are terrible, and you're gonna, it gets so messed up, you guys. Literally in one part of the episode, the pastor compares chewed up gum to a young woman who, you know, has any kind of relationship with the boy. Yeah, it's quite terrible. But, you know, when they have a group of, when you always have a group of young women in an episode, for some reason, they do this stereotypical thing where either you're possessed or they call back the craft. And so it's always that kind of thing where you have to be, I guess you either possessed or you're a witch if you're a young woman. But they did it for a good reason here, and they call upon Lilith. And you should look Lilith up if you haven't heard. But she's kind of like this mythological, or it depends if you are Jewish or if you are a Christian. She was actually Adam's first wife, according to the lore. And she wound up getting cast out because she was kind of sexually wanton, as they call her, and, you know, promiscuous and, you know, just dangerous. So for her having her own mind, therefore she must be a demon and be cast out. So, but she sounds fun to me, but, you know. Anyway, so they call upon Lilith during the retreat, and you know, hijinks ensue because a demon woman is running around as an entity wreaking havoc. But overall, it's a interesting episode. Again, I wouldn't call it scary at all. So you can visit horrorfidel.com one more time, in case you didn't know, and see the trailer, read the write-up before it actually streams on September 6th, which is Friday, on Hulu. So, happy Daughter's Day to you. So, as you just heard, September 6th, tomorrow, will be the return of everybody's favorite homicidal clown of Pennywise. That's right, you guys. It Chapter 2 will be in theaters, well, tonight, and officially tomorrow, depending on when you want to go see it. I'm probably the least excited about this. And shockingly enough, it has nothing to do with Pennywise being a clown, or I still don't like clowns or trust them or know why they're why. But really, is why are clowns? What in your mind makes you want to wake up and be a clown? Anyway. Just saying, John Wayne Gacy. But anyway, I don't like clowns. I don't get it. I've never liked them. I don't get the fascination with them for little kids. I think that's a stupid, horrifying thing to do to your kid at any time. But nonetheless, It Chapter 2 premieres tomorrow. I'm kind of mad on it. I was not impressed with either of the trailers. Like I've repeatedly said, they're beautifully shot. The shots are gorgeous. There's one shot that I cannot stress how pretty it was enough. There's just floating red balloons, and it's gorgeous. They actually have an It Chapter 2 experience on Hollywood Boulevard right now, and I have had zero interest in going to see it. I don't know. I don't know what's up with me. I had actual screening tickets to it, and I don't know, for some reason I procrastinated, didn't get my tickets in time, so I haven't seen it, and so I can't even tell you whether it's good. I'm just going by the trailer that I was just less than impressed with. But you should check it out. I love all the people in it. I love James McAvoy. I love Jessica Chastain. So it'll be interesting to see what, you know, they do with it, with those characters or whatever. But for some reason, I just really thought the Jonathan Brandis, John Ritter, I think that was late 80s, early 90s version was better. Even with the marveling of, you know, new CGI and better technology. And like I said, cinematography is gorgeous on both films, but they just didn't do anything for me. And I also realized that I think these are the way that Stephen King envisioned them and wanted them to be. They just do nothing for me. And I keep saying that, and I'll go watch this version and then I'll be back, oh my God, it was so good. I don't think so, but that could actually happen.
Who are you?
You know it's okay to be scared, right?
You gonna tell me what this is all about?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You've killed before. You kill again.
I see what you did there.
There are things in the corners of this world.
Help me!
They'll drive you insane.
A new generation of horror has arisen from the dead.
Supposed to be.
Speaking of childhood, let me tell you about some shit I am very excited about, and I hope you are too. It's Shudder's upcoming premiere of Creepshow, the series. So excited about that. Creepshow was one of my, they are, both of them, one and two, are one of my favorite horror films from childhood that I watch all the time. My favorite vignette, if you will, is still, it's called the Driver. I think it's called The Driver. The Hiker. And in that episode, the lady hits this guy with her car, and it's a hit and run. And she can't get away from him because he pops out every minute and goes, "Thanks for the ride, lady." I mean, he even gets to her house and pops out and says, "Thanks for the ride, lady." You should look that up if you don't watch any of them. That one's the one of the best. There's also one where they're on a yacht. It's called The Raft. Really good. This oil slick thing like chases them around the pond that they're not supposed to be swimming in. So the oil slick teaches you a lesson. Don't swim in here. Anyway, I've gotten way off. But The Creeper, The Creep Show, one of the best horror series ever. So I'm really, really excited that they've dusted this franchise off and turned it into episodes. And just the showrunner is the guy from The Walking Dead, Greg Nicotero. I think that's how you pronounce his name. I'm not real sure. But it's looking like it's going to be so good. Such a good anthology. And it premieres Thursday, September 26th. And I have the pleasure of being able to watch some of them beforehand to tell you guys about. It's awesome. They have done such a good such a good job with this. You have David Arquette in it. Adrienne Barbeau from The Fog. And she was in the second one. She plays like this this nagging wife. And she winds up getting it really badly in the original. So I can't wait to see who she plays in this. And then, of course, Tobin Bell, who is, you know, from Saw. He's Jigsaw. Big Boy is in this too. And Big Boy is making his rounds this year in the horror, because if you listen to the previous episode, he was in Scream series in season 4 as somebody. So he's in this, so that's pretty good. Look at Big Boy. Guess he's done rapping. Please do at least one more Outkast album, please, Big Boy. But anyway, I digress. Jeffrey Combs, of course, from Reanimator. Kid Cudi. Kid Cudi's doing a lot, too, this summer. You know, he's in Bill and Ted. So, look at him. Let's see who else. Oh, Giancarlo Esposito from Better Call Saul and from Breaking Bad. Also is in the episode. Dana Gould from Stand Against Evil is in episode. I don't like him as a person, but I think he's funny. DJ Qualls, from The Man in High Castle and a bunch of other stuff he's been in. But I would highly recommend that you check Creepshow out on Shudder. It looks really good.
I want to meet him.
No, don't open that. If you're gonna meet him, I want the mood to be right.
It was supposed to be a special night.
Now, I want you to sit down and I want you to turn off all the lights.
Now you're mine.
I get those goosebumps every time you come around, yeah. You ease my mind, you make everything feel fun.
You're the nicest person I've ever met.
And it's just that movement of the brush.
I love this song, man.
What?
I just want to know if you'll be joining me in the dark.
Fuck that. Fuck that.
I get those goosebumps every...
You kindle living inside a kaleidoscope.
I get those goosebumps every time.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Come in.
Also returning in September. September is the month for horror TV and film, you guys. Also returning on September the 13th, the third season of HBO's Room 104. And they have several supernatural horror-tastic episodes this season. And I don't know if you guys have gotten into those, but the previous two seasons were pretty good. They had some ones that were creepy and some that made you think. And this season, they're going to be a couple of creepy. The very first episode this season, it's called The Plot, and it stars Luke Wilson. It's creepy and suspenseful all at the same time, and there is blood. So And hopefully I'll be able to give you more along the way. I've again, privy to a couple of episodes. So I'll let you know here and there which ones you definitely need to catch. But overall, it's a really good series. And if you already have HBO, why not? And again, it airs September 13th, The Plot. Well, I guess that's all I want to talk to you guys about. It's basically the rundown of this week's blog posts and some things that are going to be coming up. I think I've plugged everybody that I should be plugging. Next time when we get together, I'll be telling you actually how I felt about it, chapter 2, because hopefully you and I will have watched it then. And I'll be able to tell you more about Creepshow as well, because I'll be done with that as well. And in case you were wondering, we have a book report coming up in a couple of weeks. It's a book called Violet, and it's by Scott Thomas. He is the Stoker nominated author of Kill Creek. And I don't know if you guys have read Kill Creek, but I would highly recommend you pick it up. Thomas is a really good author. I'm liking most of his work. This book, Violet, just like Kill Creek, is good old-fashioned ghost stories, which I love a good old-fashioned ghost story. And in this book, we'll get to learn whether or not Violet is an actual person, ghost, imaginary friend. I'm not there yet. I can't really spoil you on it, but it's a good read thus far. And he, like I said, he's a really good author, and he fleshes out his characters well. I think all his books should be movies of some sort. Hopefully that's gonna happen for him, because they're really good. He has a Stephen King-ish quality. He really does. But I think he actually has written for like TV movies like Netflix and sci-fi or whatever. But he's a really good author. And this is, so far, Violet is a really good book. And it doesn't come out until September 24th. But I'm only about 4 chapters in, because I just started reading it Monday during the holiday. And it's already a little creepy. But you know, reading a book in bed when you're alone about a ghost is always fun to do right before you go to bed. I highly recommend everybody do that. Well, that's all for now, and I think I've updated you guys on everything I needed to update you guys on. I promise I'm going to do better, and I'll be back next week with the breakdowns of, like I said, It, and a little bit more on the book, and a little bit more on Creepshow, and some more trailers of things that come up. So, have a good Friday, and let me know what you think of Pennywise. Bye, you guys.
Hey, buddy! What the fuck happened? Looks like a black guy, huh?
How you doing, lady?
Thanks. Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride, lady! Thanks for the ride, lady! Thanks for the ride! Thanks for the ride, lady!
How you doing, lady? Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride.
Thanks for the ride, lady!
That's a lady! That's a lady!